Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Face First Medical Aesthetics, above Gabbo's on Dewdney Avenue in downtown Regina, Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, Double Z Ag Sales, Mark Greshner Photography, Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina. Just before the pick six, these are the top things we learned from the 2020 U.S. election. Actually, before I get into that, congratulations to Sandra Masters on becoming the first female elect mayor in the city of Regina. For about a six-week stretch in 1988, we had Doreen Hamilton take over from Larry Schneider, but she's the first woman elected to the office. And congratulations and thank you to Michael Fougere for his fine work as our mayor over two terms and as a longtime counselor. For those counselors that weren't voted back in, thank you for your service. For those coming in, good luck. All right, back to this. The top things we learned from the 2020 U.S. election. For a state so reliant on numbers games, Nevada sure takes a long time to count. Presidential polls are as accurate as Jets quarterback Sam Darnold. Man, those polls really sucked. It is possible to hate Kanye West even more, isn't it? Another top thing we learned from the 2020 U.S. election. Barbara Streisand will remain in the U.S. at least another 4 years. I know. Thank God she was going to come to Canada. No, you can stay there. One thing the U.S. can agree on is that they're big fans of very old white guys. And the top thing I think we learned from the 2020 U.S. election, at least in my opinion, judging by what I saw on the weekend, COVID-19's over. Or it doesn't affect Democrats celebrating shoulder-to-shoulder maskless in the streets. Or Notre Dame Fighting Irish fans, for that matter, storming the field after a win. What the hell was that? Time now for the pick six for SAS Selects Football, building the stars of tomorrow today. Let's take a look back at the top six stories from week nine in the NFL. Number one, there are no dominant teams. The 8-0 Steelers, you say? Well, they had to overcome a 10-point fourth quarter deficit and get the benefit of a handful of penalty calls just to beat the reeling Dallas Cowboys, who were playing their fourth string quarterback. Okay, Ballsy, but how about the 8-1 Kansas City Chiefs? Well, they spotted Carolina a 14-3 lead at Arrowhead and nearly lost after a 67-yard field goal at the end was long enough but wide right. Okay, Ballsy, but come on. How about the 6-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Well, the NFL's most efficient team added Antonio Brown to Tom Brady's vast array of gifted receivers. The result? A 38-3 home beatdown by the 6-2 Saints, who sweep the season series after Brady played like a washed-up 43-year-old who threw three INTs, his worst game in probably over a decade. As for Drew Brees, oh, he's washed up. Oh, he's got a noodle arm. Oh, put him out to pasture. Well, he gets his weapons back, and he threw four touchdown passes. He has got, let me do the math, 17 touchdowns and three interceptions on the air. I don't know about you, but if I'm running an NFL team, I'll take that washed-up 41-year-old as my quarterback. The 6-2 Seattle Seahawks, Ballsy, they're great. Well, they can't stop anybody. In fact, in the time it took me to read this sentence, I just put up 400 yards on that defense. They are going nowhere. They're a fraud at 6-2. Can't cover anybody. They couldn't stop a nosebleed, man. Number two on Ballsy's pick six. After the NFL finally simplified the definition of what constitutes a catch, the league avoided any controversies over the last two seasons. Until last Sunday. Early in the third quarter of the Ravens-Colts game, Ravens cornerback Marcus Peters had an INT knocked from his hands by Colts wideout Marcus Johnson, only to have the call reversed after a replay review. They called it a catch and fumble. Okay, yeah, whatever. They call that a catch, but not the one my Chargers caught in the game against the Raiders to win the game. That wasn't a catch either, but it was more of a catch than Peters' interception for Baltimore. As Colts quarterback Philip Rivers perfectly summed it up, some guy who probably has never caught a football in his life gets to decide. I say eliminate instant replay altogether, because more times than not, it looks like they don't get it right, even after reviewing it, and it takes up too much time. Well, Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, and Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray put on quite a show in the Dolphins' 34-31 win. It was a great display by two young mobile quarterbacks who are giving their teams every opportunity to win with their dual threat ability. It's kind of a shame that it had to end. Tua had 248 yards passing and two touchdowns. Murray had three touchdown passes and one rushing TD. Number four on Ballsy's pick six, the Minnesota Vikings got 206 rushing yards from Dalvin Cook, the second straight week that running back accounted for more than 200 yards from scrimmage. He is playing like the best back in football, and the Vikes are 3-5, and don't look now, but they might not be done. They play a big Monday nighter against the Bears in Chicago, and then come home to face the Cowboys, the Panthers, and the Jags at home. So they've got a good chance to get back in the race. Number five on Ballsy's pick six, Detroit coach Matt Patricia is a dead man walking. Consider this, the Lions fired Jim Caldwell after back-to-back 9-7 seasons. They're now 12-27-1 in 2.5 years under Matt Patricia. When will teams stop hiring Bill Belichick disciples as their coaches? I guess Brian Flores is doing well in Miami, but Bill O'Brien, yeah, he won some division titles, but did nothing in the playoffs. Josh McDaniels sucked in Denver, although he was young, I get it. Matt Patricia, not doing so well. Joe Judge, I mean, come on. I know the Giants are a tire fire. That guy isn't a head coach. Number six on Ballsy's pick six. Oh, my poor Chargers. LA lost to Vegas after a replay review revealed Donald Parham's touchdown on the game's final play was actually a drop. Check this out. It was the second consecutive game and third time in 4 weeks that the Chargers were beaten on the last play. They appear to be good at that and at blowing leads. Yes, there will be a new word added to the dictionary. It's called chargering. All six of LA losses this season have been within one score. The Chargers are now 3-17 in one-score games dating back to the start of last season, according to Pro Football Reference. Somehow, the Washington football team at 3-19 and the Cincinnati Bengals at 1-19-1 are even worse in one-score games over that span. The Chargers just keep finding ways to lose close games with a dash of extra misery. I've been a Chargers fan since 1981. I need counseling. Or a hug. And for our extra point, the Kansas City Chiefs eked out that win I talked about earlier over Carolina. But quarterback Patrick Mahomes also threw a touchdown pass after putting himself in motion at the snap, which absolutely rules. It was cool to see. The 8-1 Chiefs are headed to the bye week. And Patrick Mahomes has 25 touchdowns and one interception. It is a first down and 10 at the 33 of the T-Birds. Right hash, little stretch handoff here, and Borsa with a juke and a jive, and Borsa off to the races. 10, 5, what a run! Kyle Borsa! And the Rams have the lead. That was a nifty move in the hole.
And the redemption continues. Outstanding run, couple jukes, and then that speed again by Borsa, just hitting that hole hard all the way to the end zone. Great job by that O-line.
All right, joined by Rams running back Kyle Borsa. Borsa, been a long time since you actually played on a football field in a game, but how was the fall kind of session for you on the field with the Rams?
It felt nice. Finally got back on the field with the team and the guys and got to field the football again, so that was nice.
Yeah, no kidding. What's the biggest thing that you had to get back, do you feel?
Probably just to feel the game. Last time I played, I was with Noah Pickton and a little bit different guy in the backfield with me. Now with Donnelly. So just getting the mesh down and then kind of getting back in the playbook and learning the protections and all that type of stuff. That was probably the most beneficial.
What do you think of Josh Donnelly?
He's a stud.
Yeah, what do you like about him?
He's just really smart, great knowledge of the game. Obviously, he's been working with Noah a lot, so they're pretty similar there. And, I know he's just a great, knowledgeable guy. You can always tell what everyone's doing on the field at all times. Yeah. And, he's just a great athlete overall, too.
How do you feel about the offense? I know the receiver, you lose a couple of guys, but how do you feel overall about your offensive weaponry, as it were?
I think we're going to be just fine. We looked sharp throughout the fall or whatever, and although we lost some receivers, I think we have some young guys who are going to step up for us.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the changes at the CFL level. You are in your draft year. Now, first off, they're going 8 to 6 rounds because they've got 2020 rookies that were drafted that didn't get onto a CFL field. How do you feel about the from 8 to 6 in terms of the rounds?
It was shocking to hear. But once you kind of sit down and think about it, it makes sense because you're going to have two rookie classes in there. So that's just more guys that they can keep on a team, right? So they want to kind of cut down the numbers a bit to begin with. Yeah, I was just going to say, obviously, it's not ideal for any running back to lose two rounds because that's usually where we tend to go at times. But I don't know. There's nothing you can really do about it. So,
mm-hmm. One thing you can do about it, though, now is you can decide if you want to get drafted in 2021 or 2022. Have you put a lot of thought into that yet?
Yeah, they just came out with it a couple of days ago, so we have till December 1st to decide. It's pretty appealing. I don't really know what I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to do. I got to outweigh all the options, list the pros and the cons, and then just make a decision from there.
So if they have a combine this year where you actually get to do some drills and the whole testing and everything, and you do well in that, would you think you'd declare for the 2021 draft, or do you want to have some of that extra game tape? Do you think that would be more beneficial? And who do you talk to about that when you're weighing your decision?
Obviously the combine would be a big thing for me because I haven't really been able to showcase my abilities on a big stage yet, and I think I would kind of open some eyes if I was able to do a combine. I'm not too sure what their plan is to have one or not.
Mm-hmm.
And as for who I talk to, it's just Mark I'm going to talk to, and my parents, obviously, and then, yeah, that's probably about it.
Are you leaning one way or another right now?
Obviously, the CFL is very appealing. It's been my dream since I was a kid, so I'm not obviously, I want to do that, but if it's smarter for me to opt out, take the year, then I'm going to do what I think's best decision for me.
Kind of weird. How old are you right now?
22.
Okay, yeah. 22. Yeah, I mean, like, the one thing you got to look at, too, is your age, right? Like, a guy has a short shelf life in the CFL, so if you delay it a year, then you'll be a little bit older coming into the league. Now, your birth certificate will lie because, I mean, you might look like you're 24 coming in, but you're probably younger than your birth certificate would suggest. You know what I mean by that? Like even in the CFL here, a guy now that goes back into the league, let's say like a Shaq Evans, he's 30, but he's not a true 30-year-old because he didn't play during his 29-year-old season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, a little less tread on the tires. So how do you keep ready now? You know, through the winter months, what are you gonna do?
I'll just keep doing what I'm doing now, working hard in the gym, obviously, that's the main thing, and then we're going to be doing some team stuff as well, so I plan on doing that, and I'm also going to be training with the U of R track team as well, so yeah. That's kind of my plan right now.
Do you have an agent?
I do, yeah.
Who's your agent?
His name's Fred Weinrich out of Montreal, I believe.
Okay, and does he represent any guys in your peer class, like anybody that you know that he represents too?
He's got Lowe's, yeah, on the Rams, Churchill, who went 9th overall last year.
Yeah.
Andrew Becker, who went in the 4th round last year. Some U of S guys like Haggerty.
Yeah.
That's out of the guys I know. I think that's about it.
How did you decide on him? Was it because you talked to all those guys?
Yeah, I just through word of mouth and talked to some CFL guys, and they respect him too, so kind of made that decision.
So you got to be frustrated though, hey, that you haven't actually been able to play a real football game. And how, who was the last game you played? I'm trying to remember.
U of S, October 26th, 2018.
You remember that? You probably remember what the grass smelled like, what the football felt like. It's got to be pretty tough for you, Kyle.
Yeah, I know. It's been a rough go, but what can you do? Just put the nose down and keep going.
Is this the healthiest and the best in shape you've ever felt?
I'd say so, yeah. I'm definitely the strongest I've ever been. I haven't really timed myself on the track anytime soon, so we're going to see how that goes. But I definitely feel good, and I thought I did really good this fall, so I'm feeling confident.
Well, I'm working on a YouTube Top 50 Canada West show that'll be coming out in the new year, hopefully, and you're on the list, so you can wait to see where you are. It'll be good.
All right. I'll be waiting patiently.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Take care. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.